It's time for the adventures of Boar Kid and Friends, here on the Awesome Cast. Hey folks, and welcome back to the Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome. I'm Basil.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Douglas.
And that's us. We're back. Yay. We're here. I mean, we've actually been putting out episodes at a pretty decent clip, but we've also been going to cons and recording lots of things at cons and kind of letting those flow out because we've been getting sick, or family members have gotten sick, or taking trips, then getting sick from the trips. It's been one whole...
Yeah, all manner of adventures that we probably would have rather not had.
Except
for maybe visiting the family.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. But we're back. We're here. We're here. Yeah. We're recording into a microphone. Whole episode. Y'all don't even know what episode we're doing because we didn't ask for questions or anything because we kind of were like, man, we're out of episodes. We should really record something. And so we are. And we're the Awesome Cast.
Yep.
More housecleaning things. I've got panels coming up at AWA. I believe the first panel is How to Find Anime Manga Legally. Pretty sure that's the one that's going on Friday evening. I think it's around 7:15 to 8:15. And then I believe from 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 on Sunday, I am doing my new manga one-shots or one-and-dones, where it's like single-volume mangas that you can buy.
Oh, that's an idea, yeah.
And
because there's some good ones that just aren't long-running series that, you know, you can...
Well, you know, I'm thinking we're getting to... It's, you know... This is going to happen on the weekend of Halloween.
Yeah.
We're getting into the holiday season. You know, Christmas is right around the corner. You can buy Christmas stuff at your local dollar stores already. You may want to start thinking about buying gifts for folks. And I feel manga is a great gift to give people. And so you could either A, buy them a single couple volumes of like a thing that they're now addicted to and have to buy the rest of that's like 20 episodes long or volumes long or whatever. Or you can do like a single volume of a thing where I'm reading some other ones and for research, like this one that's all about periods, like what happens when you get a period.
Okay. In manga about form. Like punctuation or lady time.
No lady times. So I'm reading that right now to see how.
That's we are talking about manga, and there's some weird premises out there, so I didn't know it wasn't about punctuation.
Man, you can write anything about manga. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So that's me. I'll be at AWA, and I'll be at AWA. Sadly, our other two, you know, compatriots
sadly not be at AWA, and I will miss everyone there who I might have seen.
Dylan's great, but I don't know if he's got any panels in or not. I need to bug him about that.
Mm.
But that is a thing that you can do. Of course, you can always go to our website, awesomecast.com. Where you can find all our episodes. We have the Index of Awesomes past. We're also doing some new things that'll be coming out. I think by the time this is out, or maybe shortly after this comes out, Anna and I are doing our new Touched by a Duelist podcast, where we're reviewing an episode of Touch and an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! One episode at a time. I don't know when we're releasing it. The first episode's already recorded, so I don't know if we're releasing the Wednesday after this episode or before. We'll find out. You'll find out. And then I know we're also going to be planning for a 14 podcast called The Carbuncle Chronicle.
Yeah.
That's going to be myself, Doug, and Anna. So, yeah, I'm making my wife, like, not only edit episodes, but she gets to talk on episodes now, too. This is what she gets for wanting to be on the Future Stars in my episode.
Yeah. You got to get warmed up first.
She hates the sound of her voice. I love the sound of her voice, so for me, this is all wins.
Yeah.
No losses.
Yeah. I hate the sound of my voice, but I just don't listen to the final product.
So, speaking of your voice, let's go ahead and dig right into Moments of Awesome.
It's a moment of awesome.
All right, Kevin, pick something, because you've got a bunch.
I've potentially got a bunch, yes, and I came in thinking I knew what I was going to put in here, and then I thought about it a minute, and I'm like, no, I'm going to plug a book. So, heaven help me, I'm plugging a book, which is not something new exactly, but still.
No, it's your usual, actually, go-to.
Yeah, not a game, it's a book. But no, I'm talking about what I had to look up the whole title. It's a Sexiled. My sexist party leader kicked me out, so I teamed up with a mythical sorceress, Volume 1. It's, as you might guess, a Japanese light novel, translated into English, that is about a girl who's a mage in a RPG-like fantasy world who gets kicked out of her party by her sexist party leader because she's a girl. And, you know, and also because he secretly got a younger, cuter, hotter mage girl lined up he wants to date. And so he's a scumbag. And in the process of getting angry and wandering out into the middle of nowhere to blow up some landscape because she's mad with her magic powers, because that's what you do, she inadvertently releases a 300-year-old sorceress who's been sealed away for unclear reasons. And after a little bit of talking back and forth and a little magical blasty-blasty, they decide they're better off as pals. And they decide they're going to make an RPG party. And most importantly, get revenge on the old party.
All right.
And it's a little bit short, but there is another volume coming in December. And it is like a lot of light novels, it's very much a power fantasy story. But it's a power fantasy story for women. And it's actually kind of sad that that power fantasy is just to be acknowledged as being actually competent at their job.
That's a mood.
Yeah. Actually, interestingly, part of the story is based on a actual news story in Japan about a Tokyo medical school that was lowering the test scores of all the women applicants. Like, they were just knocking 20 points off the top of all the women. So they were letting fewer women in because of that. And,
that's bullshit.
It is total bullshit. And that is the inspiration for this story, in actuality.
Wow. Well, I hope they get their very deserved revenge.
Yeah. Well, you might have to read the book. But no,
I might have to.
It's a good book. Just because it's a plus for me, but maybe not for everyone. There are some light Yuri elements. It might go farther in later volumes.
Did it read nice? Was it a good translation?
Yeah. It was ridiculously funny. And a lot of that is because of the localization. It was ridiculously funny at some times. And it's, you know, girls make an RPG party and kick some butt. And it's good. It's a good time. It's a good time. I burned through it in a day because it is like a short book. It might take you an hour and a half to 2 hours to read.
That's short books are not bad books.
Yeah.
All right, Doug, hit us. What we got?
Well, there's a cell phone game that I've been playing called Cat Game. And it's pretty awesome.
Does it involve cats?
Yes.
Is it a game?
Yes.
All right.
It is both things that the title promises you right away.
Fair advertising, always good.
So the premise of the game is that you are running an apartment building for cats. And you need to decorate the various floors so that cats will come live in your apartment building. And the goal is to collect as many cats as you can because they're cats. And that's what you do with cats.
Do the cats pay rent?
If they like you, they might give you something.
Okay.
Sounds like cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty great and pretty adorable.
How gotcha-y is it?
Well, it's pretty gotcha-y, but the thing is you're rolling for one specific cat at a time. And you're probably not going to get that cat. There's, like, a low chance, that like an 18% chance that you'll get the cat that you're trying to get with every roll. But instead, you'll get, like, materials that you can use to build objects, which will increase your percent. You can use to build objects to decorate the room, which will raise the percentage that you might catch the cat that you're looking for. Wow. So, you'll get that cat, and then you can move on to the next cat. So it's gotcha-y, but at the same time, there's definitive progress.
Okay. Have you felt the urge to spend tons and tons of money on this, or?
I have. I have resisted the urge to spend tons and tons of money of it. The most the most unethical thing that I think they do is there's a little bank where it has little mini games that you can play to try to, and you can enter room design contests daily to try to earn more money so that you can buy things to craft into the stuff to raise your percentage to get the cat. And one of the options that it gives you is once a day you can pay them 99 cents and they'll give you like 1,000 cat coins. And if you do all five things in the bank, you'll get a secret key that you can open and get a rare cat. So this is really gotcha-y, and I've resisted this aspect of the game. So you can play the game without actually donating any money to it.
All right. Well, I think Anna's also mentioned this game.
Yeah, Anna's who turned me on to it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cute. I actually really like the Tetris, like the not Tetris Tetris game.
Well, Tetris in all forms tends to be pretty good.
So. Well, yeah. It's not true Tetris. The blocks don't fall down to the bottom. They pretty much stick where you place them.
Okay.
But you're still clearing out lines.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way of getting, you know, out for underneath the trademark that is the Tetris company.
I really enjoy it. Can I talk about something that's not awesome?
Sure.
So I tried this new Cinnamon Coke that's out.
Cinnamon Coke.
Cinnamon Coke.
That sounds terrible, but go on.
It was. Well, it wasn't so terrible. I mean, it's Coke, which is generally good. And it was cinnamon, which is also generally good. But these two flavors combined, it hit you with the cinnamon taste, and then the Coke, and then the cola flavor came afterwards. Mm. And it was just generally not as good as, like, actual Coca-Cola or Vanilla Coke, or even the Orange Coke.
Yeah.
I actually like the Orange Coke, Orange Vanilla Coke pretty well, because,
yeah.
Like, my favorite is Vanilla Coke, but sometimes Orange Vanilla Coke will add just a little bit of, you know, creamsicle-y-ness to it.
Yeah, I tried the Orange Vanilla Coke on a whim, because you had mentioned it one time, and I didn't like it, but that doesn't matter right now.
Well, the Orange Vanilla Coke was, if you liked it, it was pretty good, but yeah. It wasn't that much better than Vanilla Coke.
Yeah, I prefer the vanilla.
Like, if you prefer the vanilla, you're gonna like the Orange Coke, but it's not gonna be as good as Vanilla Coke. I like regular Coke, but occasionally I want, like, something different. And so the Vanilla Coke is nice, the Orange Coke was nice for that. But this Cinnamon Coke is just not good. And so I'm pretty much telling everybody that you can pass on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that just doesn't set, like you said, like Coke okay, like cinnamon okay, but the taste I'm imagining in my head does not feel like
a
good taste.
I now kind of want to try vanilla cinnamon Coke.
I don't know, that's an
idea.
Yeah,
I wonder how that would be, but cinnamon regular Coke was not particularly good. Like, I would drink it again if I was at a party and somebody set it down in front of me, but I wouldn't. I don't think I will be purchasing it again.
So, Coca-Cola Company, who I know listens to all our podcasts, get on that vanilla cinnamon Coke. We want to give it a try.
Or at least throw, like, cinnamon into, like, the freestyle mix machines, and then we can
try it ourselves on our own time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, I'm going to give you a twofer. One is a manga, one's a video game. The manga is Mission Yozakura Family. It's by Hitsuji Gondera. I'm bad at the Japanese things.
Hitsuji Gondera, looks like.
Yeah, it's about this family of, like, spies or anti-spies. But now you look at it, they tend to be on the more, they sort of stop the bad spies from doing the really bad things. And they're led by one of the younger daughters of the family. And she has a childhood friend, and he likes her, she likes him, but she also has this really, really older brother who uses wires as his crazy... they're all crazy spies. Like, this is not remotely
Like, this is like crazy gimmick spies.
Yeah, crazy gimmick spies where, you know, next thing you know, he unfurls his, you know, monofilament wires and, like, buildings fall down. That sort of thing. And he's got a younger sister complex. And so everyone who tries to get close to this sister tends to die by wires. Huh. Because none of them are good enough.
Funny that.
This one young boy has been because she met him when they were both young, their childhood friends. I believe his parents died in a nasty, you know, accident or something. And so she's been sort of helping him go through that over the years. And so he's been fine. And until some point, they'll probably decide that, I think this kid's getting too close finally. It's time to take him out. And another family member's like, no, he's cool. We like him. What are you doing, stupid, crazy older brother? So in the first chapter, I think, you know, the main character and the girl, they get married.
That seems quick.
You know, because they were like, well, the one rule apparently this family has is that family doesn't hurt family.
Ah.
So if he just marries into this family, crazy brother with the wires can't do nothing to him. And so the first chapter is just like them doing all their crazy spy things to try and keep him away from the older brother long enough so that they can get married. And now he's part of his family, so now he has to be trained to become a spy to prove himself worthy of being a part of this family. And it's, you know, it's goofy, it's fun, it's definitely a Shonen Jump thing.
Yeah.
But it's wonderfully silly. If it keeps going, I'm sure it'll eventually get some sort of anime, and I'm sure the anime will be good. Much like, you know, the eventual topic we'll be talking about. Before we do, we've got a Dragon Quest Minute. Because Dragon Quest 11... S, Echoes of Illusion
Elusive Age.
S, Definitive Edition, whatever. It's the Switch version of Dragon Quest XI.
Yeah.
And it's out. It's amazing. You get the good actual orchestral tracks, not the dumb synthy tracks.
Yeah, screw you, fascist Dragon Quest orchestra guy.
You can even apparently get for a lot of it, like, the orchestrated Dragon Quest 8 music.
Yeah.
To go in there.
If you want.
Because not all the 11 tracks were bangers this time. Like, he's clearly, like, Sugiyama, whatever his name is, who's a conductor. Yeah. Like, he is clearly running out of tunes.
There's some solid music, but when I say that, I'm thinking about all the old classic tunes that they're putting in every Dragon Quest game. You know?
Right. The characters are fun, the gameplay's good. I'm actually playing it all in 2D because the 3D was giving me headache issues. 3D is amazing.
I've touched the 2D very little except in the time travel missions that require it.
But I love the concept of you can either A, play it as a full-on 3D, Unreal Engine-powered, beautiful Akira Toriyama art come-to-life game, or you can pretend like the Super Nintendo never died and you can just play as a straight-up 16-bit game, and the cutscenes and everything
versions work.
Yeah, both versions work. And in fact, you can everything's sort of set up in chapters, and you can start any chapter with either version of the game, and you keep your levels and stuff.
Yeah, as far along as you've gotten in the story.
Like, it's almost like it's got its own little weird, like, New Game Plus built into it at any point. So
you can go back and play it 2D or 3D, whichever you missed.
So I'm really enjoying it. I am already in the post-game. I've already beaten one Lord of Shadows, and now there's a whole new Lords of Shadows. Spoiler, there's lots of Lords of Shadow that you can defeat in this game.
Isn't that how it always goes?
So it's a lot of fun. It's a good beating the Luminary.
Yeah, no,
and having all your crazy friends.
It's a fun game. All the characters are pretty charming, too. I mean, not that that's weird for a Dragon Quest game, but, you know.
Along with... was it Silvando?
Silvando is amazing. Like, he's worth the price of a mission on that game, just for Silvando. He is the weird, flamboyant, bisexual buddy I need in every video game. Like, he just, I need him around calling everyone honey and darling, and, you know, just all the time, in every video game from now on. I just need Silvando in there.
It's true. But... who does not have Silvando, but still plenty of wonderful, amusing characters, including one boar-headed boy that took my heart. We're going to take a small break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some Demon Slayer. So, Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer.
Kevin, this is your fault. Sort of. Like, okay, so we realized that, for at least the two of us, that I had read, because I'm reading this as the manga, not as watching the anime so much. Although what I've seen in the anime is beautiful. Where Weekly and Shonen Jump was doing a thing where you'd spend like so much, $26 a year, and every Monday you'd get a new volume, all the latest chapters. They would also do a thing called Jumpstart, where they'd give you the first three chapters of whatever new series was just hit in Japan. And that's how they showed off the first few chapters of Demon Slayer. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. But then they never did it again. I think they were translating, but they're going to put them as volumes to buy. But it was not going to be part of Weekly Shonen Jump. Next thing I know, there's apparently the anime came out, and you start talking about it.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't shut up about it.
I might mention it a few times.
And so, no, you talk every time we hung out, you mentioned it at least once or twice.
Yeah.
It was pretty regular.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dr. Stone. And what's amazing is that somehow somebody didn't quite grasp you were talking about it for so much.
Yeah, I just never paid attention. Like, you would start talking about it, and I would just tune you out. Which is not a great thing for a friend to say. I'm sorry, Kevin. But I was listening to this other podcast. And this guy, I usually listen to him talk about, you know, he usually dives deep into different lore for, like, Bethesda games and stuff like that. But he had just watched Demon Slayer, and he just watched Demon Slayer episode 19, and he was so impressed by it that he made a special little podcast just about it. And so that got me and Barry to go, hey, we want to watch Demon Slayer and see how awesome episode 19 is. And so we sat down and we watched it, and it was awesome. We were completely blown away by this really good anime that had somehow just flown under our radar. I think because it was named Demon Slayer.
You know, I've had that thought. It's Demon Slayer is a pretty generic sounding title.
Right. it's a pretty generic sounding title. We've also had other Monster Slayer anime titles that have been radically different from this.
Goblin Slayer.
The Goblin Slayer is specifically the one I'm thinking of.
If you've got a really far back memory, you might even remember a little series called Ogre Slayer, which is also easily confused with this one, if you remember that.
But, so I didn't really pay as much attention to you as I probably should have when you were telling me about how great this anime was. And so I've learned my lesson. I need to just always listen to Kevin when he says, this anime is really great. You need to watch it.
Cue next time I say that. It's like Doug hates it for some reason. But
So I watched... Barry and I pretty much marathoned this entire series over the course of like a couple of days. And then when next time we saw you guys, we were like, oh my gosh, you've got to see this anime. It's so great. And everybody just kind of looked at me and I'm like, Doug, we've been telling you about this anime for months now.
Yeah, because I remember reading these first couple of chapters. And Kevin's like, oh man, the anime is really good. And I paused, checked the Shonen Jump app because now it's changed, where it's now $2 a month. They have this giganto vault of a bunch of different things, like Dr. Stone, One Piece, Naruto. Like, all a bunch of, like, things. Boys Over Flowers, for some reason.
Of all things. I mean, it's a very popular series for good reason in Japan, but it's,
I think the new sequel series is on their, like, Shonen Jump Plus or something. It's, like, it's being released in Shonen Jump, like, affiliate way.
It does feel weird to be in Shonen Jump, but whatever. You know, read your Boys Over Flowers. It's,
Yeah, it's amazing. So I checked and went, oh, hey, they've got, like, a bunch of the initial chapters of Demon Slayer in the vault. And then they've got, like, the latest chapter. So, but they're still adding more backlog to the vault. And so I've been able to read a little bit past where the anime ends.
Yeah.
So I've been reading it via manga, and it's still very good and very charming. And y'all been watching it in the anime variation by either you call it Ufotable or UFO Table, however you want to pronounce that the studio.
Yeah, opinions seem divided as to how you pronounce the studio.
But I know you've been loving their work on various things for a while now.
Yeah, they did the Fate Zero and Fate Unlimited Blade Works and the Heaven's Feel Fate movies. They did a lot of Fate Stay Night stuff just recently that was all like, in the last several years, has been like, oh, that was really good. They also did the Tales of Vestria animated series, which was fine, except I already played the game and I wasn't super enthusiastic about it to begin with, so there's only so much you can do with that. But they're really known for making gorgeous shows. Like, they're putting out, like, TV shows that almost look like they're made on movie budgets on a regular basis. And I don't know if that's related to why they went bankrupt.
Yeah, but they're still getting work done, so yeah, I guess they're doing fine.
Technically they went bankrupt because they got busted for tax fraud, but that was... But hey, they make good anime.
I know that the director of the series... it's adapted by, of course, the manga by... Koyoharu Kotoge, who they're, you know, doing very good work on the manga, clearly.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Haruno Sotozaki. And his one of the biggest things I've seen that he was doing was he did, like, ninja nonsense. And, like, most of the tales of anime.
Well, that he was, like, the main guy on, like, the director or, you know. Like, he's got a lot of incidental work through a lot of stuff, but... Like a lot of animation director, individual episode directors, key animators, and a good chunk of Gundam.
And I know that Aniplex licensed it for America. It's done on Toonami. And I'm sure it's probably streaming at most places at this point.
For sure on Crunchyroll and VRV. I haven't seen it pop up on Netflix, but who knows?
Give it time.
And the Aniplex stuff seems to migrate far and wide on the streaming networks, which is good because you'll never afford the box sets.
I guess we'll see, especially since I think Aniplex in some ways owned by Sony, which now also owns Funimation.
Yeah.
So that could change things. Honestly, that part, I don't know. It could still be horribly expensive, or they might make it more reasonable. I'm not quite sure which way Sony will go.
Yeah. It's hard to say, and how much do they just let Aniplex go about their business as normal without interfering is also a question.
So, what is Demon Slayer?
In my opinion, this show is pretty much just set up to succeed right from the beginning. It has everything working in its favor. We have a pretty simple premise.
Mm-hmm.
With a few neat little twists and turns that keep you interested in the characters right off. You know, our main character, his family has just been killed by all these demons, and so it has a lot of the traditional Japanese aesthetic that you saw in things like Inuyasha.
It is a period piece.
It's a period piece.
It's actually closer to the modern time than a lot of these things are. Like, you don't notice it till you get an episode in the big city when they do have things like cars and electric lights and Western clothes.
Yeah.
But,
It's set roughly 1920s Japan, I think.
Maybe? Like, I knew this at another time, and I didn't know we were going to podcast about this today, so I did no prep. But,
Well, it's before World War II era Japan.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But I think it might be after World War I era.
We're just coming into, you know, Japan is starting to modernize in a serious way.
Yeah, like, because there's electric towers up in through the towns, and that's even present in the first one. So it's this really niche time period that you don't see a lot in anime, but totally existed, and totally has a lot of really nice design elements in and of itself. And then, so the main character, his family has just been, he's shown to be a very competent character just in general.
Yeah, he's got a very hardworking attitude, a good, you know, good-natured.
You know, he goes into town and everybody responds to him, yeah, about something helpful that he has done in the, yeah, past.
Seems like the townspeople all like him and think well of him, and, you know, they're like, oh, what a nice, hardworking young man, kind of, you know.
You know, perfect to be our RPG main character. And so, like I said, his family gets killed by demons while he's away over the course of the night.
Which are sort of a hybrid of traditional Japanese oni and vampires.
They're pretty consistent with traditional Japanese oni.
They just have some of the sort of vampire trappings wrapped around them. With the, you know, they can't go out in sunlight, and they, you know, drinking their blood turns you into one of them, and things like that.
Well, I think that may be a cultural clash, because that still is very traditional oni to me.
Yeah.
The
sunlight thing feels weird. I don't, I may just be missing certain legends, but it didn't, like, but, and the way they look sometimes evokes a little bit of a vampire
You have to remember that Japanese lore and mythology doesn't have a pure vampire.
Yeah, no,
parallel. They don't. There are a couple of different things that can be equated to vampires.
Yeah, there are blood-drinking things in Japanese mythology.
Yeah, but in general, if it consumes human flesh, we label it as an oni of some sort.
Yeah, but I don't know. But they exist, and our hero comes home to find his whole family having been slaughtered by them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, except for his...
The oldest little sister.
His little sister, who's the next oldest child.
Yeah, yeah, he's the oldest son of, like, five kids.
Yeah.
And then the next sibling beneath him is his little sister, and she just barely manages to survive, and she gets turned into a demon.
And there's a little bit of a, you know, tense moment where she kind of tries to eat him.
Yeah.
And that's sort of understandable.
Before she can eat him and kill him, because demons are way overpowered compared to normal humans.
Yeah.
Like, normal humans do not stand a chance against these things. A demon slayer comes through and rescues him, and is about to kill his sister when he begs him not to kill his sister.
Yeah, well, like, he even, like, tries to fight the guy.
Yeah.
Who's, like, still way out of his league. This is a guy who's trained to fight monsters who are way out of regular people's league. And it's, yeah. And I do it. I think I immediately fell in the series with the whole, when, okay, the brother goes from I'm trying to not eaten by my sister to I'm going to kick your ass if you try to touch my sister. Was then immediately followed up by the sister, you know, jumping in to defend her brother when it seems like he's about to get killed.
And I think it was that action that made the demons go, wait.
Yeah.
No, this is not how this goes down.
Yeah.
Yep. These two are weird.
And so he shows them mercy and, like, points the brother vaguely in the direction of a guy who might be able to help him, you know.
So, something that's really popular in Japan and among otaku right now is brother-sister relationships. It's been like that for the past 10 years, and it's really, really gross. And so this is the best...
You say 10 years.
Maybe a while. I mean...
I'll give it a few decades.
There's been a subtext that crept in and out for a good long time, and before it even became a frequent thing.
So I want to kind of assure everybody that this doesn't go that direction. They say stay actual just brother and sister, and it's really sweet and heartwarming. Oh, yeah.
They have a really wholesome, loving relationship that is not at all sexual, and I cannot emphasize how refreshing that is.
Like, it's a sad state of affairs that their not sexual relationship feels so refreshing. Because I did watch the first couple of episodes going, oh no, Japan. Oh no, please don't. Please don't.
I mean, I know there's something like Nezuko, the sister, now that when she's a demon, she doesn't really talk anymore. And she mostly just occasionally makes noises or, you know, amused faces. Mm-hmm. And I some people have kind of looked at that and gone, like, does she even have, like, a character? It's like, but...
Oh, she does.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of... If you're talking about women's rights, and you mentioned some things having good women's rights and how Japan yeah. has kind of a bad track record at the moment, and it's getting worse. There are a lot of problematic elements in this show with how Nezuko has been literally gagged.
Yeah.
And can't really talk. But there's also a really strong historical reference for that. So I would say the show is not great on that front, but at the same time...
Yeah. Well, I do like that her actual actions seem to convey a lot of what she feels without her having to talk a lot of the time.
It's basically a show that's just not thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they do the most with what they're, you know, they've structurally created.
Yeah.
To try and give her as much of her personality and yeah. as much agency as you can yeah, get yeah. for a female that's literally gagged and drug around in a box.
Because sunlight will kill her. So yeah. she hides in a box that he carries on his back. But, and while she is occasionally sidelined due to sunlight or other story issues, most of the time she's in there with him fighting, and I also appreciate.
Well, yeah, there's very much this dynamic where they are protecting each other. There comes to be moments in the stories where they talk about, don't you need to leave Nezuko behind? Wouldn't it be safer for your sister to be here since you're going off to fight? And he just has these moments where he's like, yeah, it would be safer for her, but I need her. And I love those moments because... You know, they say love is unselfish, but sometimes it's a little selfish.
Yeah. But they, you know, they're a team, and, you know, it sort of works.
And together they fight crime, and by crime, I mean demons.
Exactly.
Because the guy they get him to help things, he's like, well, don't know about saving you, but we can surely help you teach you how to kill demons. That's not your sister.
Turns out the secret is mostly just breathing right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like that as someone who has dabbled in martial arts and singing in the past, that the unlocking your superpowers is built really around breathing right.
Well, there's actually a lot of logic to it. By breathing right, you put oxygen in your yeah. blood. By putting oxygen in your blood, you enable your muscles and your circulatory system to actually function at its peak capacity, which yeah, actually, yeah. if you're doing all that right, is pretty fantastic. But you've got to yeah. learn how to do it right.
Right. First. I'm amused by that in that it's like, yeah, that's kind of a thing, just taken up to 11 like a lot of anime does, you know.
And in the manga... Like, you see cool little ways that they sort of illustrate, like, how, you know, he's breathing, quote, like, water or, like, quote, like, lightning and how it's doing stuff. But when I saw the anime, it really takes that visualization to, like, a whole nother level.
Yeah, I love the visualization of the water for all the sword techniques, especially.
It's so beautiful, like...
Especially since it looks like, the rest of the anime looks like anime, very gorgeous anime, but, like, all the... Like the watery sword stroke things. It looks like the sword strokes are out of like Japanese watercolor art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a neat visual element.
And that's definitely a thing. Like you don't get nearly that effect from the manga. The manga just looks like they're just currents of water, but not like a completely yeah. different style.
Well, in terms of how they did that from just the technical animation standpoint, that the graphic effects that look like they're from a Japanese watercolor woodblock print are actually done through CG in the computer yeah. and then rendered yeah. onto the 2D animation.
UFO Table has been doing a lot in the like merging CG animation with 2D animation in ways that are not as off-putting as some.
Well, right, because they did this exact practice in a different anime. Called Handshakers, and it looked terrible. It looked absolutely atrocious. It looked like there was a CG 3D effect going on, and then you had yeah. weird 2D characters kind of not sort of interacting with it. But in this, it looks fantastic, yes. and it looks beautiful. It does look crisper than the rest of the world, which adds to the feeling that it's something that's not quite there but is there.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's just meant to be a interesting visualization for us at home of the wateriness of the special attack, as opposed to a thing that's really existing in reality. But I, it looks cool. It looks so cool every time it happens.
You know who else looks cool? You know what else is cool about this series? Inosuke Hashibara, aka Boar Kid. The guy, why do I call him Boar Kid? Because he has a boar head on his head.
Because
he was raised by a boar.
The boy with the energy of 30 to 50 feral hogs inside his one body. That won't become dated ever.
Because it turns out, like, you know, we've got Tanjiro and his sister, but eventually just sort of form a little team of other demon slayers. You also, of course, get introduced to a big villain, and you now know sort of where they're going to have to go with this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But like, I think for me, the moment that they introduced Boar Kid was the moment I'm like, all right, I am now 100% sold on this show.
It's just a guy who's this like...
my series who...
got like some ratty pants and wearing a boar head as a mask.
Literally... I think he became a demon slayer almost by accident.
He did.
He literally became a demon several times
in the show. He became a demon slayer by accident.
He just wandered into the right place, and they like he passed the test by just being him.
And he was fine with it. He's like, okay, I get to fight strong stuff. That's cool. I'm strong. In fact, I'm the strongest. Don't sure why I'm following what y'all are telling me to do, but I'm doing it. Because I'm Boar Kid and I'm amazing.
Love his swords, their weird little serrated edges that just well, like...
I feel that the other two characters are pretty much a commentary on your standard shonen hero type protagonists.
Yeah.
And he's very much in the Goku line of shonen hero protagonists. He's a Goku, he's a Luffy, he's basically really strong, and he just wants to fight for the sake of the joy of fighting and facing a more challenging opponent. And the demons are really powerful opponents, so he's going to fight them. And that's pretty much the extent of his logic train.
There is a certain beauty and joy to be found in characters who are just here for, I'm going to fight that.
And Boar Kid is like one of the best distillations. In fact, while I do see how the anime is really well drawn and amazingly animated, I still feel like the best, most pure version of the Boar Kid is in the manga, and the clearly defined, you know, pen strokes that really has a little bit of a rough texture quality to them. So it really brings out like the wild, like beady eyes of this constantly insane boy who is just out there to be the strongest.
Well, the beady eyes on the boar head he's wearing as a mask.
Yeah, so the boar head is an actual boar head. So this boar's dead eyes just kind of like stare off in opposite directions at nothing in particular. Yeah. And yet you'll get the feeling of this really intense gaze as the boar is not staring fisheye.
Ironically, in the rare moments where he takes off the helmet, he's really good looking. Although they're all pretty good looking, being, you know, shonen protagonists.
Don't talk about that! He doesn't like you talking about that!
So, in a way, he differentiates himself the most by, you know, being with his crazy boar mask. And most of the first season of the anime, because I'm assuming there'll be more, I know there's going to be a movie, largely seems to exist to set up first our heroes, and then the larger setting, and to get us really excited about it before they run out of season.
Well, we also should mention Zenitsu.
Yeah.
Who is your coward boy.
I love him. He's basically, you know, he's your Shinji. He's your...
He's the anime protagonist with no confidence whatsoever.
Yeah, he's the anime protagonist who is... is who starts the show cowardly, and he's not confident in his abilities, and he's in over his head.
He was kind of roped into this whole thing, half against his will, you know. He, in fact, only knows really one technique, although he's really good at it when he actually remembers he can fight.
He's also got the unfortunate, like, out to get the girls aspect to him, but I feel that they realize that they sort of, it seems like it's a little less as time goes on.
It feels
it's
like...
It's never gone, but they lighten up on it a bit.
And they feel self-aware enough about it, you know. It's a...
Well, again, if you look at, typical anime protagonists, there are a lot of anime protagonists who behave that way. Right from the get-go, and it's rarely played up for laughs like it is here.
Yeah.
An example where I can't think where it plays almost identically is another Rumiko Takahashi series. It's the one with the hotel.
The hotel.
Yeah, the guy...
Do you mean Maison Ikkoku?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maison Ikkoku. Like, he reminds me a lot of the main character of Maison Ikkoku and of Lum.
Oh, wait, you're thinking of Urusei Yatsura, then.
Well, I'm thinking of Urusei Yatsura, yeah. But also, like, the two main characters in those are very similar.
I think you're thinking more of Ataru from Urusei Yatsura, because the main character in Maison Ikkoku is not nearly...
Then I'm thinking of Ataru from Maison Ikkoku.
Kind of the weird pervy one in Maison Ikkoku is actually the one random girl who lives in the apartment complex, who's not the main girl, just a girl. But Ataru
is very much very girl much, crazy.
He's very much Ataru is very much that kind of character. Played
yeah, he reminds
played,
me a lot of Ataru.
I was about to say played straight, despite it's a comedy series where his attempts to get with girls frequently end with getting his ass kicked. But he's more. It's more like that's how he is. Ha 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 ha. Not that's a little unsettling, man.
I saw more as a better version of the creepy guy from My Hero.
Oh, the, like, yeah, diaper baby, whatever his name
whatever is. Whatever that stupid little...
Actually, I see a lot of Midoriya in him. Like, believe it or
in
not.
In the sort of, like, yeah, how he's kind of got... He can be capable, but he has a lot of self-doubt.
Mm-hmm, he has a lot of self-doubt. Yeah.
Well, versus, you know, our actual main character, Tanjiro, who's just always way...
He's very confident... Even when he's like, I don't know if I can win this fight. I'm going to fight it anyways, but I don't know if I can win this fight, but I'm going to fight it as best I can, and maybe it'll work out.
I think over lunch, you know, Doug said, like, where he's constantly in over his head.
Yeah.
At all times. There's never not when he's not, but somehow he tends to pull through.
Yeah. He's a very, like, they show from the very first episode that he's a very competent person. He handles himself very well.
Clever. He's good at working out the mechanics of whatever his opponent has as their special gimmick, and then finding either ways to counter it or exploit it to win.
Because, as Basil pointed out, he's constantly in over his head. He's constantly, he is a normal human fighting these incredible monsters.
Yeah, where if you don't...
Are just capable of slaughtering
them. You don't decapitate them with a special weapon, they're just heal in a couple minutes at most. You know, it's...
Which, that special weapon, you know, is... I forget exactly how they describe it in the show, but basically what it boils down to is from a very particular meteorite, which correlates to it being from a holy material.
Yeah, it's like, basically, you gotta have a magic sword.
Yeah.
And even other demons occasionally, like, will pop each other's head off just because they're mad at each other, because they'll get better. You know, it's like, it's not like I'm killing you by doing this. It's like, I'm just, you annoyed me, so I'm gonna pop your head off because I can. And no, think about that while you put yourself back together. You know, it's...
Basil, you're looking at us like you have something to say. Say it.
I don't. Like, my brain was trying to think of something to say. and it failed.
But so we got kind of, you know, our trio of Shonen heroes, the little sister, you know.
Yes. So I want to compare it very briefly to My Hero Academia, and why I feel it is superior to My Hero Academia, which is a statement I know is going to make a lot of people mad, but so what? It's true.
Burn him at the stake! Okay, what is...
Okay, so the reason... So, this isn't... One of the first way that I would like to compare them and say they're similar is that they are both objectively good shows.
Yeah, yeah.
My Hero Academia isn't really my thing. Like, I'm not really that into it. But I still watch it and see that this is still just plain old a very good show. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, it's got everything working in its favor. It's well animated, the stories are well told, the characters are relatable. Same thing for Demon Slayer. Beautifully animated, compelling stories, super relatable characters. But the thing that My Hero Academia has going that's kind of a problem as far as I can see is every new story arc is more or less self-contained. It builds on what had happened in its previous story arcs, but the conclusion to every story arc is sort of like a moment where the writer goes, okay, well, this is what I've done, now what? This is what I've done, now what? I feel like this show, especially the way it does its reveals and the way it does its dramatic moments, this show has a real knack for making you feel like it's going the opposite way. For making you feel like, even though it's very, very long and protracted, and we have these different story arcs where we have our temporary new villain through this powerful demon that we're facing, okay, now we're going to face this powerful demon. Even though it does that, it still has these beautiful interwoven moments where there was something going on in the show that it totally just laid there for you to see, and you didn't think anything about it, but now it's coming up again. It's coming up in this new story arc, which is basically a long form version of going, this show has amazing foreshadowing in it.
Like, for example, something again we mentioned during lunch. You mentioned how much I like Boar Kid, and you mentioned how they introduce like him almost in the background.
Yeah, he was. He was just standing in the background. He was standing in the background after the exam where, you know, our main character first becomes an actual demon slayer.
Like, all those people at the exam have some degree of importance later.
Only five survivors.
But they're all... we don't stop and point at them and, you know, exposit with them right away.
In fact, Boar Kid was standing in the background with that goofy boar head on. I completely just wrote him off because I have been reading One Piece for so long that when I see just a random human with a random animal on their head, I just go, "Oh, that's not an important thing. That was the that was the mangaka goofing off."
Yeah, yeah.
But no, he was super important.
He's one of the main characters.
Well, you know, the Lord El Molloy case files literally did that with having a guy with an elephant head in the background, and I thought that guy was going to be important. He didn't matter at all.
Yeah.
All right, so now that we're starting to talk about actual like storyline bits, let's take a small break and come back with spoilers. All right, we are back with spoiler talks about Demon Slayer. Yeah, man, Boar Kid's so great. Spoiler.
That's not a spoiler.
I love times when, like, God, our cast is a bunch of idiots sometimes.
Yeah. Although, what I do feel is a spoiler, and weirdly not related to any of the visual amazingness, I really like the character, even though she's just in a couple episodes so far, the Lady Demon Doctor, who's, like, trying to figure out a way to turn the sister back into a human, and her little, like, demon minion boy, who are unequivocally demons who are good guys, also.
Yeah.
Besides a sister. Like, it's like a, there can be, they can exist kind of element.
Well, it's also a case that we also discover that there is a source to all these demons.
Yeah.
Like, there's this one guy who is, you know, he's like the source vampire, as it were. You know, and he's sort of doling out his essence to these folks to create more demons.
I sort of felt like we met him too quickly for how... How the story was progressing.
I was actually really impressed. Like, oh, wow, we're already introducing him, like, from the get-go. Of course, I also wonder if that's just a particular incarnation of him. Because as the manga has gone on, there are other moments where, like, some of his underlings will come to him and he's a completely different person.
Oh, okay.
So I'm wondering if the person that we met, while it is the main bad guy, the main bad guy seems like he goes, like, I don't think we've actually met the actual form.
He may either be some kind of shape changer or body hopper or something.
I kind of wonder if he is sort of Voldemort in himself and broken himself up into bits.
Or possibly multiple people simultaneously. That's one I hadn't thought of. But.
And he's more of a hive mind. That he has taken over certain bodies that are better, quote unquote, him. But even if you kill them, you may have not have killed him. So I don't think we've actually met whatever his actual final form is.
Also, you know, big bad villain. When you see the guy and his earrings make you nervous for some reason, maybe you should have just killed him instead of sending your witless minions. That doesn't work out well.
Well, speaking of those earrings that just kind of bother the main villain for no apparent reason, that's another example of this great foreshadowing. Yeah. Like, the character has those earrings from, like, panel one.
Yeah. They're like his dad's earrings.
Yeah, they're a part of his character design. And the whole thing with his dad, like, in the whole first story arc, you're seeing how, as the oldest son, like, to a mother and with all these kids, but the dad's not around, you know, you sit there and ask yourself, well, why isn't the dad around? Well, they eventually answer you why the dad isn't around. And you're like, okay, well, why was he so weak that he died young? Well, they eventually get around to answering that. And it's just, it's beautiful how everything eventually just all comes. And that's going to lead me to talk about episode 19.
Which I figured was coming because it is like the...
It's the crowning moment of the anime.
And just so we're clear, I double checked, yes... In panel one, you clearly see his Hanafuda earrings.
Those are probably really important.
Well, but, so in episode 19, the original guy who I was listening to his podcast, and he was talking about how great this show was, he was talking just specifically about episode 19, and it was so... amazing. He was talking about how great the conflict resolution and everything. I thought that for sure what was going to happen was the thing that they had kind of been foreshadowing all along, that Nezuko is going to eventually turn on our main character, and he's going to have to fight her. He's going to have to fight his own sister who he's been struggling to protect all this time. I thought that was what was going to happen in episode 19. That is not what happens in episode 19.
I hope the story never goes there. It doesn't seem like it will, but...
Like, so let me just assure everybody else, that is not what happens. What does happen is we get to the final villain of that story arc, and we have the final showdown between our main character and this villain. And our main character suddenly realizes, has this moment where he's in the fight, in the battle, and he suddenly realizes another way that he can do things. And what's so great about this moment is that this is something that shonen anime does all the time. It's part of the formula of a shonen anime, is things are looking their dire, most bleak, we're in the heat of battle, and suddenly the main character has this epiphany and remembers something from his past that allows him to do a new technique.
Yeah, you know, they get a new superpower, they get a new secret mode, somebody has a new set of Nikes for them, something.
Yeah, they figure out how to shift into third gear, whatever it is. Now, in most series, like My Hero Academia, in most series, they go back and they go back, like in My Hero Academia, they would flash back to a moment where All Might was talking to Midoriya, and it was in the downtime between episodes. It was just something he said that Midoriya is putting together now. And that's kind of good foreshadowing, but it would have been better if he was flashing back to things, you know, not from 2 days ago, but but some, you know, that was built within the context of this story arc. But this flashback in this story arc that that Tanjiro goes all the way back to
is his dad dancing.
Yeah, is his dad dancing, and they actually set up this flashback really, really well. It's something they talked, that multiple characters talked about, like why this happens, why your brain does this. This is an observed phenomenon. And then our main character, as his life is flashing before his eyes, remembers his dad dancing from when he was a little kid, and that's how he figures out fire breathing.
Yeah, it's like, but you're so frail, Dad. How do you do that for hours and hours, you know? It's like, well, it's all about how you breathe, son. It's like, oh shit, it's about breathing!
Yeah, and in case we haven't mentioned it yet, all the human superpowers come from breathing. Wait, yeah. We did mention this. We talked for a good bit about it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay,
it's all about breathing. And he just remembers, oh yeah, my dad taught me a way about breathing back in the day, you know? And
yeah, so Tanjiro is...
which is going to actually directly lead into the movie, because it's based off the bad train. I'm not sure they call it Dev Train, Doom Train, Demon Train, whatever they're going to call it. But it's, because big thing is flame breathing, right? What he thinks it is anyways. And you're going to meet one of the first, like, important kids, the older kids generation, you know, and you're going to meet the fire guy for that.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Oh, yeah. Which, this is... not an insult towards Demon Slayer, but there is a thing near the end of the season where we meet the big head Demon Slayer guy, like the main Demon Slayer guys who are like the elite of the core, and I seriously have like a Bleach flashback.
Well, again, this is where I want to do a compare and contrast. Because I know what you're talking about. Suddenly there's this entire new cast of characters.
Like a dozen extra characters they throw in. Yeah, I didn't actually count, but a bunch, you know.
I think it's a dozen, but they throw in a whole bunch of new characters, and they kind of throw all their names at you really quick.
They all have weird idiosyncratic appearances, and are all some sort of specialized skills. And
yeah, and your first introduction to them is them just kind of, like, goofing around as they decide what to do with the main character. As they callously jest about what they're going to do about the main character's fate, and then, like, other lowly servants, like, inform our main character that, oh no, these people are really cool, you need to respect them. That's both similar in both shows.
Yeah.
Bleach tended to do that over and over and over again. But in this show, we actually saw at least 4 of these people before we got here.
That is true.
Reference was made to them, you know, sitting up on that, in the story arc where he actually passes the trial and becomes a test. Those two little girls told them what all the ranks were.
Yeah.
And we've had mention of it before. So we knew that this group of people existed, even if we are just now...
yeah.
Being introduced to them.
And also, at least some of them we do spend time with afterwards. It's not like they introduce them that immediately forget they exist.
Yeah.
But it's a...
I also appreciate that sometimes, I don't know, did y'all get the quote-unquote training arc in yet? Where they have to stay at a house and rest up and learn new things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that happens occasionally.
Yeah. Like, I like how they actually have to rest.
Yes.
Like, they do really, you know, really beat into them that y'all are just humans, guys.
Yeah.
We breathe real good. Yes. These are demons.
That helps you heal faster, not superhumanly quick. And, yeah, there is some times when, like, Tanjiro goes from, like, one fight to another, and he's like, well, I've still got like some broken ribs and a bruised ankle, and boy, I'm like at like 50% here, but I guess I'm gonna have to fight anyways.
Yeah. Well, then I remember the first time he finally really meets, you know, Boar-Headed Kid, and they immediately get into a fight because Boar-Headed wants to kill the demon. Yeah. That's his sister, and he's like, no, you can't. He's like, no, she's cool, and you're only supposed to use your swords. It's like, well, I'll fight you then. Well, no, you can't use your swords. We're demon slayers. We do have to fight the bad demons. He's like, all right, fine. We can do this with our fists. And he's like, no, that's not... You're not getting... No, that's not... And then Boar-Kid immediately starts, you know, attacking him, like, with, like, these low hits, like he's a boar. And Tanjiro thinks he's going to get it, then suddenly flying dropkick. And he's like, haha, aren't I awesome? Aren't I awesome? And they're like, why'd you say it twice? Like, you know, God, he's such a wonderfully stupid...
Yeah.
Guy. They've got so many good characters in this.
I do like that there are, you know, times when they have to rest and heal. And there's even like a
that's what
rehab
it was,
arc, sort of.
Where he starts running around and Tender like, you've got cracked ribs. You're just flying about. You're bending yourself over. What? You're making it worse. And the guy's like, yeah. Okay, then it's going to get worse.
I think the funniest one is where he got choked so hard, and then he did so much screaming, he, like, lost his voice for several days.
Yeah.
And he just kind of sat there, fuming. Like, he couldn't talk.
I don't think it was that he couldn't talk. I think it was that he couldn't scream triumphantly.
So he just sat there. But I did kind of like the little rehab arc with the, you know, where you're like, okay, do these things, you know, yeah, it'll get you back into shape. Okay, yeah. Drink this so you can undespiderfy your limbs.
In One Piece, Zoro is constantly injured from the previous fight. This is so that Zoro, who is obviously overpowered for this game, can't overshadow the other player characters. We don't do that in this show. If characters get hurt, they take time to recover. It takes a little while. Like, I think just watching the anime, I think, like, a total of like, 3 years have passed from the beginning of the anime to where it left off currently to get ready for the movie.
That could be... I know there were, like, and then months passed, a few times happened in the show.
Yeah.
Because they gotta give them time to actually, like, recover.
And also, Tanjiro going from, I need to learn to be a demon slayer, to, okay, train your balls off, kid. Train, then cut this rock in half. And then, so, months passed. It was...
So, yeah, it's a good show. I think I'd give my favorite moment of... Well, my favorite moment, I think, was when Tanjiro was talking to Boar-Kid, and he was eventually like, all right, yeah, sure. I didn't even get into this part yet. I think this is more, like, probably, like, Doom Train spoilers.
Yeah.
Where he goes, okay, you're the boss, you're great, we should do this. He's like, ha ha ha, yes, I am the boss, aren't I? Aren't I amazing? Yes, we'll do your thing. That is fine. As long as you acknowledge my greatness. So give me a favorite moment, Kevin.
Well, as much as I want to go to the glory that is episode 19, I actually have, it's... There's the demon doctor lady arc. There's the two witless minions. And there's like the one lady who can like grow multiple arms and have the ball. I honestly just really love when her and Nezuko basically get in a soccer match to the death where they're both kicking the ball back and forth between each other at like superhuman speed.
I also really like, they're like, God, they're so powerful. They must be the two of the things that we need to be able to try and save your sister. Yeah. No, they're scrubs.
They're
just scrubs.
They are witless minions who are like, if you succeed at this, I might give you important things to do. Level.
And just really, you know, got Tanjiro to understand, oh, once again, he is in over his head.
Yeah. It's like, so, multiple arms and killer ball skills and this other guy who can make things change direction hard enough to kill you at will, they're not the scary ones. Oh boy. But
Doug, give me a favorite moment.
I have a lot of favorite moments. It's hard to actually narrow it down to one. And again, like Kevin said, while I'm tempted to go with the majesty that is episode 19, I think I'm going to split it into two different moments that happen kind of around there.
Okay.
So it's nearing the end of the Spider Family story arc. It is actually after Zenitsu has fought and killed the older brother of the Spider Family. But he's been poisoned and he's laying there dying. It's as he sits there and explains why his life is flashing before his eyes. And the only thing he can think to come up with is to just, like, meditate and slow his heart rate down and hope that help comes. Like, I really like... So there are several moments that he has where he dwells on how, like, even his cowardliness is actually a human survival mechanic.
Right.
And I just really love the level of introspection and study of actual human psychology that happens with him and surrounding that character a lot. The next moment that I utterly love is when the main bad guy has summoned the four lower houses after the Spider Family gets killed, and he's decided to dissolve this house, and so he's just killing them. And they're each one of the remaining five lower boss villains are trying to figure out how to, like, escape from their own boss to survive, because Demon World is like a cutthroat world like that. And they're each coming up with different survival tactics and failing. And it's finally the one, there's just one left, and the boss is about to kill him. And he's just like, I'm so glad you let me see this. I'm just so happy right now. That was the one the boss let live. And the reason is because this is illustrating the point. One of the points that Tanjiro makes when he's confronting the other high-level demon slayers is they're all saying, no, demons just have to be killed. They're absolute monsters. They're horrible. And Tanjiro's like, I see them as really pitiless creatures. Like, they're people who have no hope. They have gone beyond the point of no return. And there is no redemption for most of them. But that's still really sad. And that's the part I like most about Demon Slayer, is that the demons have all these really sad stories for how they became demons. And yes, they are irredeemable now that they're demons, which is highlighted by another point, when the butterfly breathing Demon Slayer shows up, and desperately the big sister of the Spider Family tries to go, hey, we can be, I didn't want to do all this stuff, the bad guy was making me do it, help me, and maybe we can be friends. She's like, okay, we can be friends. Tell me first, since we're friends and all, how many people did you kill and eat?
Yeah. Well, and I think something that was interesting also with the Spider Family was, you know, the main person of this was, you know, we call him a family, but he's sort of forced all these other demons to become part of his family.
Yeah.
Because that's how, in his opinion, how you make family. Yeah.
In fact, when he sees Tanjiro, Nezuko's sibling bond, it's like, that is beautiful. Give me your sister. And it's like, which is, of course, you know, the last thing you say to Tanjiro.
That's a no-go.
But, you know, Tanjiro, I think, is now effectively shown that, A, both, you know, him and his sister do share a true family bond.
Yes.
But he's also got his other compatriots,
mm-hmm.
you know, Thunder Boy and Boar Kid.
Coming soon in a theater near you.
they're clearly, like, the three of them are a Demon Slayer team.
Yeah.
Like, they have now sort of formed their own family unit. So Tanjiro's got both, like, you know, the blood connection family, but also the extended, you know, friendship family.
Yeah, the found family. Like,
the found family. So he's beating this demon on what he wants to do on both levels.
Yes.
And again, it just really enforces just how pitiful some of these demons can truly be. It's a good series.
Yeah,
it's a good series. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I cannot help but assume there will be a second season. There's definitely going to be a movie.
Well, the movie is straight up the next story arc.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that they'll probably get a second season to go past, but this is one of those things where it's not like a Shonen Jump movie normally where it's some weird side story that they're doing to make a movie. No, this is like straight up like Initial D or like...
Although...
Where they actually, the movie is just the next part of the story arc. I think actually what Sailor Moon's totally doing with Sailor Moon Crystal as well is that the next movie is actually going to be the next bit of story bit.
Although, weirdly, is another tangent to My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia made a movie that was completely original material, but then they made an effort to fold it into the TV continuity.
I think that's something they're trying to do now. Like, you know, a lot of the One Piece stuff.
Yeah.
You know, also think about... you know, with Dragon Ball, with they did the Battle of Gods and stuff, where they were trying to actually start a new continuation point for the Dragon Ball story in One Piece. They've started having Oda, like, in on the writer's room to start weaving more of that stuff into actual things. So they get better movies out of it, and more people want to go see it.
Yeah, canon or not, it seems to work out better when you get the creator involved. Who knew?
But yeah, so yeah, oh man, like, I love the train story arc. It's, y'all are in for, and I say y'all, well, I'm going to see this too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a treat.
Oh boy.
It's going to be a treat. All right, so let's take a quick musical interlude. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, music. Awesomes out of awesome. How many awesomes out of awesome do you give Demon Slayer Doug?
I give it 3 Demon Slayers out of awesome.
Damn it. Kevin?
I give it 1 amazing sibling bond out of awesome.
I'm going to give it... Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome? Out of awesome. So, this has been the Awesome Cast, production of the Awesome Cast. I guess I can say that because right now we're doing other podcasts besides just Awesome Cast.
Yeah.
I mean, we also things like, you know, we're also looking into things like Awesome Quest being more of a thing. I know we've done a couple of trial runs with some guests at Hamacon, but we are looking to see what we can do to actually make it like an actual thing. Stay tuned for that. I also mentioned we got now Touched by Duelist, the stuff that me and Anna are doing with Yu-Gi-Oh! And Touch. We'll eventually have the Carpool Chronicle going on. Which is an exciting time. We're going to have a new patch for 14, so that's exciting. I'm sure we'll be talking all about that in our first episode. But this is a production of the main show, the big dog, Awesome Cast. You can find everything at awesomecast.com, osmcast.com. Our intro music is provided by DJ Inabito. You can find him at djinabito.com. Our wonderful editor, Anna. You can find our Angel Darkfire on Twitter. You can find me at It's Basil Time on Twitter. Kevin's at twitless_Kevin, where he can get all the latest hot takes on various anime he's watching, and probably trails of colds and steals.
Yep.
And then you can find us, of course, all the episodes we post, you know, both on the Facebook page, or also our Twitter at awesomecast.com. A mini plug for our friends at Third Impact Anime. They've actually started a community Discord, which I've joined, and it's a lot of fun if you want to talk to a bunch of folks about anime and have it, because I haven't been looking for a decent anime Discord for forever. So I'm hoping to help make this one a good one to join. So check them out at Third Impact Anime. I'll see everyone I get to see at ADUA. I'm looking so much forward to seeing everybody. Come to my panels. Thank y'all for listening. And until next time, we're out. Get all their sippy caps going.
Oh yeah. sippy cups. Because I'm an adult. I can have a drink and a sippy cup if I want. That's
right.
I have sippy cups if you want one.
No, thank you, but thank you.